Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our Christian American series. If you'd like to learn more about the series or North Valley Church, you can check out our website at nvcmd.org.
So one of the things I like to do when I get the time and maybe better weather, is I like to go backpacking. I have managed to, I'm old and I'm slow, and I overpack, but I've managed to almost cover Maryland, the Appalachian Trail in Maryland. I've got like 8 more miles to go on the north end of Maryland, and then I will have hiked all of Maryland. It's fun, it's relaxing. I'm an introvert, so I like the alone time. But oh my gosh, it's so hard to be alone on the Appalachian Trail. There's like everybody goes to the Appalachian Trail hike. Amazing. One of the hikes I did was to be at Gatlin State Park. You start up there, and then I was walking south towards Harper's Ferry. And as you're taking the Appalachian Trail, one of the opportunities you have is to go out to this rocky outcrop called Maryland Heights, where you get to stand out on these rocks and look out over Harper's Ferry, right? So I've been to Harper's Ferry. You can go downtown Harper's Ferry. You can walk along the buildings and see the rivers and how they merge, right? The train tracks and the paths and the roads. You can experience that when you're down there. But oh my gosh, when you're up on Maryland Heights looking at it, it looks different. It is something breathtaking and exhilarating about what it is that you see up there. You're looking at the same thing, but what's changed is your perspective. Where you're standing defines how you see things and how you interpret them. Think about that. If any of us go hiking, right, we do the trudging along the path, but really what we want is the vistas, right? If you go do up in Catoctin, right, there's the Thermont Vista, there's Hog Rock. I like to hang out at Hog Rock and the Blue Ridge Summit, but you do those things, you do the hiking, that's exhilarating and good, but man, when you get to the summit, what do? You don't just, oh, look, the view. You don't hike by it, do you? You stop, because that perspective, where you're standing, that point of view is powerful, and it means something. So I want to take that mindset that we can be looking at the same thing, but depending on where we're standing, we might see something different. And I want to keep going with that. When you see something and suddenly it looks different, it starts to have a different meaning to you. You interpret it different based on where you're standing. Right? When you're walking through the town of Harper's Ferry and seeing the rivers, it's one thing to go, oh, look, there's a river. There's another river. Where's all the rivers? Why are there so much water here? Well, when you get up on Maryland Heights, you can go, oh, I can see why Harper's Ferry is such a big deal. I interpret what I see different based on where I'm standing. Not only do you see it different, you interpret different, but if all those things keep coming together, you're going to respond differently. What it is your experience. All the same things, responding to Harper's Ferry while you're walking through it is different than how you respond to Harper's Ferry if you're standing on Maryland Heights. Our entire sermon today is about where are we standing? As if you can get that question, you've got it. So I want to talk about where we are standing. So we are in this sermon series called Christian American, where I want to talk a little bit about how does our faith collide with how it is that we live and interact in the country that we're in. How do they interact? What's the relationship? We're going to do a couple of part series on it, and today is kind of like the foundation the starting point. If you can figure out today, the rest of the sermons will kind of fall together. So today we're laying the groundwork. When we just look at all the things that are going on, the simple question I want us to wrestle with is, where are we standing? In a passage, we're going to go through two passages of Scripture today. We're going to go through a little bit of stuff in the book of Philippians, and we'll be hitting also on 2 Corinthians. So in the book of Philippians, we're just going to read a little bit, and I'm going to talk as I go through it. It starts out, it is going to be Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start at 17. Join together in following my example. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the church at Philippi, and this is how he's addressing them. Join together following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a role model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is their destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mindset is on earthly things. Right? So Paul's starting to show us, hey, where is it that we're focusing? When we're looking at things, what is it that we're emphasizing? He starts out by talking about role models. So I just want to make you think about that for a moment. Let's think about who are the role models of our life. Now, you're in church, you could pull the always right answer, Jesus is my role model, right? Okay, you can do that. And it's not a wrong answer. However, I want to point out that Paul says, follow my example. That he says it's okay to have earthly role models. So I want you to wrestle with for a moment. Who is your role model? Who is it that's living their life in a way that when you look at it, it's like, you know what? I appreciate what they're doing. They don't have to be perfect, but they do some things that I appreciate and I want to follow and I want to go in there too. They just got here, and man, are they excited to be at church. Yes, that's what you want to hear. That's a good thing. As we think about who our role models are, I want us to think about who's looking at us as a role model. Right? If you're a parent, game's on. They are looking at their kids, are looking at their parents as role models, aunts, uncles, cousins. It is like impossible to be living engaged in society and not be a role model for somebody. I want us to think about that for a moment as we walk into this series and think about what it is we're doing and how we're engaging society, what ought those parameters be. I want us to think about, hey, how am I doing this so that the people who are watching my life, when they see that, I want them to like what it is that they see. Who are your role models, and who are you a role model for? Paul is writing, and he's passionate about this idea of being separated from Christ. He's passionate about the idea that there are people who don't get it, and whether they're doing it intentionally or not, but he knows people who are living as enemies of the cross. And then he steps down into it to help us think about it. Man, their God is their stomach, destiny is their destruction, their mind is set on earthly things. Yeah. So I want us just to sit for a moment, right? If I was just sitting around with a bunch of pastors, we'd read the verse, yeah, their mind is set on earthly kings. Rumph, 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 grumble, grumble, grumble. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? So I want to push just a little bit, because it's easy for us to sit on, just to read that verse and go, yeah, yeah, rrr, rrr. Right, so let's think about what earthly things are. This past few months, we went through an election cycle in the United States. Oh my gosh! Lots of people posted lots of stuff on Facebook and other social media things based on the election. News media outlets stopped everything else so that they could report on the elections. Tons and tons of money. Right, we could change the world, stop world hunger, all that stuff. We could do that stuff with all the money that was spent on advertising for the election cycle. right? And it has culminated for us in this past month or so where we swore in a new president of the United States. All that stuff with that election cycle, think about what your involvement and your attention and your view of it was. The election cycle, is that an earthly thing or a heavenly thing? I'll let you sit with that for just a second. I'm going to push you a little more. The Constitution of the United States. Is that an earthly thing or a heavenly thing? The American flag. Is that an earthly thing or a heavenly thing? Their destiny is their destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. I'm not saying elections or the Constitution or flags are bad things. They're good things. I value those things. But I want us to think about, when I'm looking at those things, where am I standing? Where am I standing when I'm viewing those things? And how focused and drawn in am I with those things? This passage in Philippians continues into verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got your notes and you want to underline something, underline this. Who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, that's worth underlining, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. If you've made that choice to say that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, you're a citizen of heaven. We got a passport that's pretty colors, however they would color it for heaven, right? And our photo's in it, and it's my home country, right? We can say, well, I'm actually holding a dual citizenship, blah, blah. You can say that, but your passport for heaven's going to last a really, really, really long time. At some point, the passport for the United States isn't going to be useful anymore, right? 100 years from now, which passport's going to matter the most? Well, I want you to think about, you're a citizen of heaven. Paul talks about this time when Jesus is going to be returning, right? We eagerly await a Savior from there, that there's going to come a time for whatever craziness that we see going on in our country today, whether socially or in government, however you want to see that and interpret it. One day, there is going to be a perfect kingdom that we're going to get to live in here on this earth when Jesus returns. So I'm going to say a challenging statement, and I'm going to use some big words. Sometimes we get standing on the earthly side of things, and we think, oh my gosh, I need to make our government turn into a biblical Christian theocracy. That's what it is that we need to do. And if you're not sure what biblical Christian theocracy means, ask Grant. Well, I'm going to, in a minute, I'm going to say, you know what? That's not really our mission. When we stand from a heavenly perspective, when I'm standing in heaven and I view those things, I'm going to be seeing them a little different. I know that the only real biblical Christian theocracy that's ever going to happen in history is when Jesus comes down and asserts it himself. He's the only one that's going to be able to make that happen. Maybe you've never come to terms with that. Maybe you look at the government and maybe you allow yourself to get drawn in and overturned with the things that go on there. I want to give you an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I want to be part of the heavenly stuff. I want to start standing here and taking a look at it. I want to get on those super duper Maryland Heights and not just look at Harper's Ferry, but I want to be able to look at the world from heaven's perspective. We're able to make that transition by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to realize that I sin. I do it all the time. I've done it in the past, and it separates me from God. the way I think, the things I do. And the only solution and resolution to that, to heal my relationship with God, to open the opportunity for me to be able to walk into heaven, is to put my faith and trust in who Jesus is. And then I can do the same thing as Paul. I eagerly await a Savior from there, knowing He's going to come back. I put my faith and trust in Him. I receive His forgiveness and His leadership into my life. And I'm forever changed. My eternity is set for heaven. I become a citizen. But I get to start living like that right now. If you've never done that before today, man, let's make today the day. I think there's steps that we can take to move and live in that direction. Man, please come talk to me after the service, me or Grant, and we will help you with the next steps of what it means to live like I'm a citizen of heaven. How do I do that, and how does that look, and how do I grow? Before we leave this passage, I want to talk about that verse 21, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. When I listen to some well-meaning Christians talk, they talk as though who wins the election is a do-or-die situation. Drop dead. The country's going to get trashed if this happens, or this is going to blah, 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 blah. When we're saying those things, it sounds like you don't believe that's true. When you think that whoever is president has the power to disrupt Jesus and his plans, I'm not sure where you're standing. It feels like you're standing over here on the earth stuff. Or if we're standing on the heavenly stuff, God's in control. It doesn't matter who's in the presidency. God can do whatever it is he needs to do. He can make it happen. Right? One of my favorite stories, I got a couple go-to places that affirm me in some things I believe about society and God. If you read the book, anybody familiar with the book of Habakkuk? Habakkuk. Oh, man, not very many. Go home tonight, homework assignment. It's only 3 chapters long. Read the book of Habakkuk. It's hilarious. It's a wonderful book. The prophet Habakkuk goes to God and says, God, hey, how come you ain't doing anything about all these Jewish folk, these Jewish leaders who are just sinning and doing terrible stuff? Look at the terrible things they're doing. God, how can you possibly let all these Jewish people get away doing the terrible things that they're doing? And God says, you know, Habakkuk, you're absolutely right. Let's do something about it. I'm going to send in the Babylonians and completely overthrow the whole place. Habakkuk goes, no, really? Okay, just kidding. And then there's some backpedaling. And God says, hey, I can do whatever I need to do. I want you to catch this. The Babylonians, completely pagan nation, God is going to use the Babylonians to fulfill his will. God can do whatever he needs to, regardless whoever's in power. Where are we standing when we look at who the leaders are? Am I letting the earthly side overwhelm me, or do I catch the heavenly vision, this perspective of like, God can do whatever it is he needs. There's nothing that's going to happen here that's going to thwart his plans and make him not lose control. Think about where we're standing. So as we do that, right, there are things that we encounter in the social media and all that stuff that push us, right? I'm trying to stand over here, Dan, but I keep sliding back over here. I can't help it, right? I got stuff that does that to me, right? There is stuff that when I catch it and read it, man, it pushes me over to the earthly side. When people stop the discussion and turn it into the bottom line is I'm right and you're wrong, and only thing that needs to happen is you just need to shut up and stop talking and do things my way. That elitist, there's no point in talking because I'm the only one here that's right. Ow, that presses my buttons. When I see those conversations or I'm experiencing that, I lose my Jesus. Right? Whoop. Here I go. Right? You press my buttons when you go there. And I end up over here standing on this side again. It's like, what are you thinking? You can't talk like that. And then there's work that I need to do. I need to get back standing over here again. So let's be real. We want to be standing over here, don't we? But when we're standing over here, it's not free. It's not always easy. It requires hard work sometimes. But man, having your mindset, the thing I am hoping you ask yourself today, where am I standing? As I'm viewing what it means to be an American and to live in this country, in this society, simply today, where am I standing? That's what I want us to wrestle with today. When it comes to being a Christian living in America, we're not just standing and looking. We've actually got a mission. God has asked us to be engaged in what's going on. In the passage in 2 Corinthians, we're going to pick it up. It is chapter 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Hurrah! Right? That's part of the newness that starts right now when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then I can start viewing people through that kind of lens. And Paul makes a point in writing the book to the letter to the church in Corinth that he doesn't view people from a worldly point of view. Get ready. I'm going to push a little more. When we talk about people, we tend to use labels. And when we label that person, we throw them into this entire category. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever they are. Sorry, just political humor. Right? Are you woke? Are you a boomer? We take those labels and we put them on people from our worldly points of view, and then we leave them in that category. We pigeonhole people based on these labels that we adopt. We regard no one from those points of view. If I'm standing over here, I only got one thing I want to know about you. Do you know Jesus? That defines how I might respond to you. Treat everybody with gentleness and respect, even the Christians that are difficult to hang around, right? Everybody gets treated with gentleness and respect. I don't go over here and pigeonhole and cubbyhole people so that I can't have that conversation with them. My world, my heavenly point of view, I'm going to throw those other things away, and what I am is on a mission for Jesus. Picking it up in verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and, if you're underlining, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have a mission. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. New phone. The light, I've got to fix the light, keeps coming on. Okay. It's a blessing, it's a curse. It's a blessing, it's a curse. Okay. Focus. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. If we're not just standing from our heavenly perspective looking at what's going on, we got a job. We're ministers. We are supposed to be sharing the message of reconciliation with the world. So I want you to think about that for a moment, right? We're not about creating a biblical Christian theocracy. We're not going to be successful doing that. I think we should be engaged in the political process. Go vote. If you have a candidate who lines up with things you agree with, support them. Do those things. But that's not the end all. And we do those things in a manner so that I can stay on mission. Because my real mission is I want to get the message of reconciliation with God out to the world. And there's things that we can do to impact positively the where we live. But man, don't do them in a way, right? If you've got a political slant and you want to get on Facebook and start doing the hate and slamming and stuff like that, one, you're going to get my rile up and I'm going to give you a call. No, I won't do that. Two, when you start doing that, that's not helping our mission. Right? Spreading hate out and judging people and pigeonholing them, that is not helping the ministry of reconciliation. That's not moving us forward with the message of reconciliation to God, which is really what we need to be about. And then Paul wraps it up with these words. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through us, right? So let's just look at the logistics here for a moment. When I had put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and lived and dwelt inside of me. And there are moments when we're going through our life and living, it's like moments when we're like, oh, supposedly the Holy Spirit's in there, but I'm not feeling it. You want to feel the Holy Spirit get fired up and motivate and inspire you? Start getting in touch with your message of reconciliation. Start praying and talking about how can the Holy Spirit in me, hey, Holy Spirit, where are my opportunities to be able to share you with other people? Fire is going to come on. When you get standing in the same place that God is, you start to recognize, oh, me and the Holy Spirit are now walking together. When that happens, cool things happen. And for those of us who know what I'm talking about, there's an experience, an interaction that we can have with the Holy Spirit that is difficult to put into words and to explain to people who've never trusted Jesus, who haven't walked with the Spirit in that way. Man, if you've ever been in the place doing the thing God has designed you to do in that moment, and more often than not, it's going to be related to the message of reconciliation, that ministry. When you're doing that thing, you know it. You feel on top of the world, regardless of the circumstances. That's our opportunities of being ambassadors. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're ambassadors here on this earth. We can influence it for good, but our mission is to be a message of reconciliation. When we do those things, not when we do those things. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to resolve the relationship that we have with God. When we put our faith and trust in him, not only do all these cool things happen for me, but I also get the righteousness of God. I want you to think about this verse in righteousness of God at the end here. That righteousness we receive has nothing to do with my good works. It's got nothing to do with my good looks. It has nothing to do with how much of the AT I have or haven't hiked yet. My righteousness is based solely on Jesus's. I can't work to earn anymore. I get his righteousness. That's what we get to receive in our relationship with God. And so I'm freed from the burden of sin and death, and I can just say, I got a mission. I don't have to be perfect. I'm going to grow in my faith, move in the direction that Jesus wants me to do, but I'm ready to tell people who's the one that's changing my life, who's the one that's healed me. We have an opportunity to do that. I'm going to invite the band up. And while they are coming up, today I want you just to be able to ask the question. Ask yourself the question, where am I standing? Once we resolve the idea of where we're standing, going forward in the sermons that are coming up, next week we're going to talk about how do I interact with the government. Right, so if I'm standing from a heavenly point of view, how do I view? How do I interact? What are my roles and responsibilities when I interact with the government? The sermon after that, how do I engage with society? Right, I'm not saying that we can separate ourselves from those things, but Our standing from a heavenly perspective helps us see things different. It's going to help us interpret things different. It's going to help us respond to things different. So we're going to talk about the government. We're going to talk about how we engage in society as a Christian American. The last sermon, I'm going to take a moment. There's something that America is about that I am uncomfortable with. Makes me uncomfortable. We're going to take a moment, and we're going to talk about that for a day. Something that makes us uncomfortable. Besides doing that, on that sermon, I'm also going to give us an action item. We're going to have an opportunity to take this thing that, from standing from that heavenly perspective, just ain't cool. We need to do something about it. Yes. Amen. That was an amen. Y'all got that, right? On that day, I'm going to give us an opportunity to be able to step into doing something proactive so that we can positively influence the place that we're an ambassador to. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus, who just changes everything. He changes how we see the world. He changes how we interpret it and what it means. He inspires and equips us, fuels us, guides us, so that we know how to respond. Lord, quite simply, I pray that you would find us with open minds and open hearts. And we just let you speak to us. Where are we standing? Have I been standing in this earthly place, wrestling and contriving and working, struggling with fear and anxiety and anger because I'm standing so close in this earthly position, viewing the things that are going on? Or am I able to see the world from your perspective? Lord, I'm a citizen of heaven. You have given me the opportunity to see the world through your eyes, from your perspective. Lord, I pray that we are all able to get there. And like I said, it's not a light switch. Sometimes it requires work. Lord, I pray that this week you would find us open to the conversation with you to be able to do things we need to do so that we're standing in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You guys can stand up. We're going to close the service by singing two more songs together. We can reflect on that message and God's faithfulness right where we are.